From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. Get ready. And next hour, well, we've heard of the old hag syndrome, haven't we? How about people who walk by street lights? Those lights go on and off. Our guest will be Brandi Stark, paranormal investigator, and I'm looking forward to this one. Some of the stories of the day, some of them not too pleasant. Terri Schiavo's parents took their battle right now to the Supreme Court after being dealt a pair of blows in their effort to keep their daughter alive. A 40-page appeal to the High Court, which was previously refused to get involved in the case, has been filed. They filed it several hours ago. In the emergency filing, Bob and Mary Schindler say their 41-year-old daughter faces an unjust and imminent death based on a decision by her husband to remove a feeding tube without strong proof of her consent. They allege constitutional violations of due process and religious freedom. The filing also argues Congress intended for Schiavo's tube to be reinserted, at least temporarily, when they passed an extraordinary bill last weekend that gave federal courts authority to fully review her case. Now, Justice Anthony Kennedy will be the first to consider the Schindler's appeal. He can choose to act on that petition alone or refer it to the entire court, which he did on the last emergency request involving Schiavo. Kennedy, appointed to the High Court by President Reagan at the time, has traditionally taken a moderate position on social issues. Earlier in the day, the Florida Senate rejected a bill that would have restored the feeding tube. Before that, an appeals court also voted not to order that device reinserted. The feeding tube was pulled on Friday afternoon with a Florida judge's approval, and by late Tuesday, Terri's eyes were sunken and her skin, lips, and tongue were parched, according to one of her attorneys. Terri's hospice has refused to provide details about her condition. Now, doctors have always said that Terri would die within 1 or 2 weeks after removal of the feeding tube, and we're very close to that period right now. In Texas City, Texas, a thunderous explosion tore through a BP oil refinery, shooting flames and billowing smoke into the sky and showering the area with ash and chunks of charred metal. Tragically, at least 14 believed dead, more than 100 injured. The cause of the explosion not known. They do not believe it is terrorist related. The blast left a gaping hole in the earth, mangled nearby offices, and was so powerful that witnesses said it rattled homes as far as 5 miles away. Cars and trucks in an employee parking lot were coated with soot and debris. The explosion occurred in a part of the plant used to boost the octane level of gasoline. Spokesperson says, again, terrorism is not a primary focus on the investigation. The plant in Texas City is about 35 miles southeast of Houston. It sprawls across 1,200 acres. About 433,000 barrels of crude oil are processed a day, producing 3% of the U.S. supply, and the plant employs about 1,800 people. Gasoline prices, they say, could rise slightly because of the explosion, because the plant is such a large gas producer. Gasoline futures rose nearly 2 cents in late trading on the news of the explosion. Texas City is the site of the worst industrial accident in the United States history. Now, in 1947, a fire aboard a ship at the Texas City docks triggered a massive explosion that killed 576 people and left fires burning in the city for days. If you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, you might remember the story we talked about some time ago about the USS San Francisco. Now, that's the submarine that crashed. It hit something in uncharted underwater. You know, it hit maybe a mountain or something. Some people are saying, no, they hit something else, maybe another submarine. I don't know. The official word was that they hit some kind of uncharted underwater mountain or structure, okay? But take a look at the pictures that we've posted on the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories. It is amazing that that submarine was able to get back on the top. Tragically, one sailor died, A number of others were injured. The sailor died when he was tossed and he hit his head on a pipe and he died 2 days later. But it is a miracle, I think, that that submarine was able to get back up. In New Jersey, a man accused of pointing a green laser beam at a small passenger jet, temporarily blinding the pilot and co-pilot, has now been indicted under the Federal Anti-Terror Patriot Act. His name is David Benesch. He claimed he was looking at stars with his daughter. Also was accused of lying to the FBI about that December 29th incident in which the jet's windshield and cabin were hit three times with a beam as the plane approached an airport. The charges in the federal indictment were similar to those filed against Benesch in an FBI complaint in January. Now, an attorney said that Benesch was using a laser for stargazing when the plane was hit by the beam. He's 38 years old. He faces up to 20 years in prison if convicted of interference with pilots of an aircraft with reckless disregard for the safety of human life. He's also been charged with two counts of making false statements to law officers, each of which carries up to 5 years in jail. Well, after we've talked about this for several days, chess legend Bobby Fischer has now been freed in Japan after nearly 9 months there in a Japanese detention center and immediately headed for the airport to board a flight to his new home, Iceland. Fischer, sporting a very long gray beard, jeans, and a baseball cap pulled low over his face, left the immigration detention center in Tokyo's outskirts. The eccentric chess icon was taken into custody by Japanese immigration officials in July when he tried to leave the country using an invalid U.S. passport. Fischer, who has been held in detention since his arrest, claims the passport was revoked illegally and sued to block a deportation order to the United States, where he is wanted for violating sanctions imposed on the former Yugoslavia by playing an exhibition match against Russians Boris Spassky in 1992. Well, this week, Iceland's parliament stepped in to break the standoff, awarding citizenship to Fischer. Iceland is where Fischer won the world championship in 1972, defeating Spassky in a classic Cold War showdown that propelled Fischer to international stardom. Fischer could still face extradition to the United States, though. Iceland, like Japan, has an extradition treaty with Washington. Well, those of you who will be getting Social Security, you'll be okay for the next few years, but some of you younger people who will be continuing to pay, well, according to the latest estimates, Social Security will go broke in 2041. So all of you who will be paying for some of us, let's hope that they revamp it or change it or do something, because they simply say that by 2041, they estimate that the Social Security system will be broke no more. You know, I was born in Detroit, and when you're in Detroit, when you're from Detroit, you learn the car business. My dad worked at Ford Motor Company. You get to know what the Motor City was all about. And you get to know the models of the cars and everything else. Well, listen to this. After all these years, General Motors is saying that it may kill off one of its brands. Now, that happens a lot. But one of these two brands they're thinking about killing off have been around for a very long time. Sign of the times, maybe. Kind of sad. Pontiac or Buick might hit the dust because of weak sales. Apparently, Japanese cars are going through the roof, eating away at the U.S. market share. And General Motors says, look, if things don't change, we're going to have to discontinue one of our brands. And experts are saying that it could be Buick or the Pontiac. In Florida, I mean, you can't even take your kids now to a petting zoo. Be careful. Listen to this. Five children are in critical condition right now in Florida with kidney failure, and they may have picked up a rare infection at petting zoos, according to health officials. State and county health officials in Florida are investigating the infections. Four children being treated at Florida's hospital in Orlando visited zoos at the Central Florida Fair in Orlando, which ended March 13th. a fifth child visited a petting zoo at the Florida Strawberry Festival. That also ended on March 13th. They're also investigating still another youngster who may have also had the same kind of ailment. The potentially dangerous kidney condition is a very rare complication arising from an initial infection most commonly associated with E. coli, a bacterium found in undercooked beef or contaminated food. But they're saying that not all the children are showing signs of this exposure, and now they're running fresh samples to see what's wrong. But these children are in critical condition. Simply going to a petting zoo, petting animals. In China, the world's first water buffalo has been cloned from cells. The buffalo's heart rate, temperature, breathing were normal. The calf was born at about 4:15 in the morning. The calf was cloned with ovary cells from an adult native buffalo and transplanted in a year-old female buffalo on April 10th of last year. I thought I was reading this story wrong when I was doing some of my research for the program tonight. I am not. A woman in India was married to a pot, P-O-T, a pot, you know, like a vase, by her relatives after her groom failed to show up for the ceremony. She took her vows with a clay pot when her fiancé, who's a police officer there, reportedly got stranded on the border because of heavy snowfall. She agreed to go through with the wedding to the clay pot, and I have no idea what the rules and laws are in India, whether this is now a real marriage or not, but that's exactly what they did. And listen to this, some of you who try to get sleep every once in a while. Scientists at MIT's Media Lab here in the United States have invented an alarm clock called Clocky to make even the doziest sleepers who repeatedly hit that snooze button leap out of bed. After the snooze button is pressed, the clock, which is equipped with a set of wheels, rolls off the table or wherever you have it to another part of the room. And then the alarm goes off again, and in order to shut it off this time, you have to get out of bed and go chase it. And according to New Scientist magazine, they said it will wake up even the sleepiest of people. Sign of the times. Here are the phone numbers west of the Rockies. And by the way, please dial the right numbers. Apparently, somebody received maybe a million phone calls over the last two nights because some of you didn't hear the numbers right. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And it's time for you. Welcome to Coast AM. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Cindy. I'm calling from Angleton, Texas.
Hi, Cindy. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a comment about your guest in the asteroid.
Yeah. Dan Durda last night.
Right. Well, I listened to it tonight. I was under the impression by listening that this was a new thing, something that they've recently been watching and tracking. And I remember back in 1977, 1976, It was a widely publicized story. And they said then that it was due to hit in like 2027, 2028.
You mean the same asteroid that he was talking about last night? They were talking about
time,
back in the early 70s,
late mid-70s. It's the same time frame and everything. It was in the National Geographic. And I believe, actually, when I was listening to the program, I was talking to a friend on the phone. And my friend said, yes, I recall that.
Now, what did they say then? That it was going to hit us?
Then it was going to hit us. They said something about it being close to a mile long, and that it would have the impact of like 100,000 tons of TNT.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the National Geographic, and I've always wondered why. I never heard anything else about that. Why it wasn't written somewhere else. You know, the National Geographic's pretty reputable.
I'm just wondering if all those scientists passed on and they didn't pass on the information to anybody.
That's what I was wondering.
When I heard the guest speaking
about it, I was like, that's it.
Very, very possible. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Austin, Texas.
Well, welcome to the program, and I was in your fine city just a few months ago. Loved it.
And I had the pleasure of meeting you there.
Oh, you were there? Great.
Yes, thank you for coming. We look forward to seeing you again next year.
Yeah, I'll be there.
So, George, a couple nights ago, you had a lady that called in about the Terri Schiavo case.
Uh-huh.
And one of the comments that she made was that she didn't believe the bit about the ability of potassium to influence a heart attack the way it was claimed in Terri's case.
Right.
And while I haven't followed Terri's case probably any closer than anyone else in the country, but we've all come in late, I can tell you that... About 20 years ago, when I was home from the Air Force over a Christmas vacation, I did happen to see my mom go into an instant cardiac arrest. I mean, I was talking to her at the dinner table, and my dad, you know, I turned away from her after exchanging comments, saw my dad go into a panic, and I looked back at her, and she was stiff and starting to fall out of her chair.
Oh, my God.
And after doing CPR on her there in the house, then having her transported to the hospital with multiple hours in the ER, they managed to bring her back. But it turned out that this was the second time my father had seen that happen to her in the space of a couple months. And the doctors told us that there was an extremely narrow range in which potassium influences the heart. And it's a narrow range in which it's effective. And hers had essentially just gotten too low, and the heart just ground to a stop. It, you know, it didn't have a heart attack in the sense that it hurt the heart, but it actually just brought the rhythm of the heart out of sequence, and it just came to a stop.
No, you're right. I had an old news director in Detroit, great guy. His name was Dick Graff, and I learned so much from him. But he had some real bad heart problems. Ultimately, he died of a heart attack. But he used to carry bananas with him because, of course, they're loaded with potassium.
Exactly.
Doctors apparently told him, whenever you're feeling strange, you better eat one, and eat one fast. And I guess at that time, you know, they didn't subscribe potassium pills to him.
Right, and I guess, and I don't know what happened in my mom's case, whether her medication just got off track, because she was a heart patient at the time. But as I say, I went from exchanging comments with her and then turning to say something to my father, and, you know, that look of panic on his face, and she was just instantly stiff and starting to fall out of the chair. And fortunately, she recovered, you know, through the help of some great doctors, with no damage to the heart itself. But it was an amazing situation to see happen almost instantaneously.
No, you are right. Potassium is very important to the heart. And the problem is you don't want too much either. Yeah, too much of a good thing is not good. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, it's Jeannie from Colorado.
Hello, Jeannie.
I have two things. First, can you tell me your aunt's name again? You said she wrote some books, and I'd be curious to read those.
You can Google search her. She's dead now.
Uh-huh.
Her first name is Shafika. And I'll spell her last name for you. It's K-A-R-A-G-U-L-L-A.
K-A-R-A-G-U-L-L-A.
She's on my father's side.
Interesting name.
Yeah, and she was one of the country's foremost psychiatrists who decided to devote her entire life into the paranormal. And that's what she did. And she got to know Ingalls Swann, and, you know, he's the father of remote viewing and people like that. And then she died tragically when a radio fell into her tub.
Oh, my gosh.
When we still have our own suspicions about that.
Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't?
But her book was called Breakthrough to Creativity.
Okay.
And she was a wonderful person.
You've mentioned her from time to time, and I was always curious, but I could never get that name, so thank you.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I was really calling about, you were talking about zombies on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
My daughters and I had talked about this before, about cloning people, and of course they had on the news about cloning the water buffalo, right? But to clone people, would they have a soul? We've always discussed that, and Friday night's topic made me think that maybe is what zombies would be.
Soulless.
Yes, if we cloned people.
Unless, still with life, somehow there may be some way where souls enter the physical body. It's possible what you might have. Here's the other way to look at it. You'll have a cloned identical person, but each entity will have a different soul.
Depends on where you believe the soul comes from.
True.
So that was kind of a scary thought to think, oh my gosh, we have to draw the line somewhere because who knows what we're going to be doing.
I wonder if we should just clone one person just to see if he's soulless.
Yeah, someone's going to stop at one.
An experiment. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you, George.
Appreciate
good night.
It. If you need to email me, that's simple enough. It's George at Coast2, Coast2CoastAM.com. George at Coast2CoastAM.com. I'm George Norrie. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, I had the privilege of seeing Sir Elton John in Las Vegas a few weekends ago. And let me tell you, what a great performer. Thought-provoking stories coming out of India. The India Daily, one of their newspapers, reporting that governments from India and China... Well, just listen to this story. They say astrophysicists are running back to the drawing table in recent days looking at a star cluster called M15 discovered years back by the Hubble telescope. They said this mosaic of globular clusters, 15 objects that seem to be in the star cluster containing over 30,000 stars, so maybe they're talking about galaxies or something. The telescope probed the core of M15 in that they found evidence of either a massive black hole or another remarkable phenomenon, a core collapse driven by the intense gravitational pull of so many stars. Now that may just simply sound like a scientific story, and it is, but they go on to say that they also have had communications from beings from those star clusters who have come to this planet, that they have either come through a parallel universe or black holes governments will not confirm the rumors, but not deny the rumors, according to the newspaper. But they say that they believe that there have been intelligent life forms scattered all over the universe. They act as colonies with different life forms. New colonies are created all the time by transporting different forms of intelligent life forms from one solar system to another, and that they are in touch with the governments of India and China. Now that is a neat story. Back in a moment. And in just a few moments at the top of the hour, Brandi Stark will be our guest. She's a paranormal investigator. We're going to be talking about the old hag syndrome and some other ghostly stories. Let's go to the phones. Pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you? My name is Mark from New York.
Hi, Mark.
I'll just tell you, I'm a big fan of yours. I used to listen to you when you were on the Big 550 in St. Louis.
Well, how did you pick me up there from New York?
No, I moved to New York.
Oh, you moved. Okay, great.
And I now listen to you on 770, but...
I know the big 550s. Yeah, they've got a good signal, but I didn't think they could reach that far, so that's good to know. All right.
I just loved your show when you were in St. Louis. I'm glad you made it national. I'd like to relate to you an incident that happened to me when I was a little younger. I was attending the University of Missouri in Columbia, and this incident happened to me. I was riding my bike from my apartment to the college campus one day. It was kind of on a side road, you know, not much happening. And all of a sudden, I see this bright light, fireball, raise up into the air, and I was just knocked out. I fell off my bike, just knocked out. While I was unconscious, I saw the image of a very interesting type of creature.
Like what?
It was sort of, I don't know, there's a word for it, I know there's a name, but it was an animal, had the body of an animal, the face of a man with wings, and I woke up and my face was all bloody. I don't remember having any impact or touching me, but I just remember that image and it really stayed in my head.
Was this like Mothman? You know what we call Mothman?
It could be, but I just try to gather some information. You know, no one wants to help me out, and I listened to your show and I thought maybe it has some insight for me.
What did that flashing light have to do with the vision? What do you think?
I don't know, but that's what knocked me out. That's what knocked me out. I got knocked off the bike because of that loud bang and explosion. I just fell unconscious. I don't know what it had to do. I don't know. Maybe the creature did that. I just had to let it out there, you know.
You don't think it was like a crashed vehicle or anything, do you?
No. It was like a red light flash right past my eye, then a fireball pop up into there.
All right, that's interesting. Let's see if anybody else checks in with us on that. Thanks, appreciate your call. Next up, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Karen from Beaumont, Texas.
Hi, Karen.
My son suffered a head injury 8 years ago on April 7th. And my heart goes out to those parents because I am the caregiver, and I feel for her mother because my son does not initiate any needs. He could sit here in my home and starve to death from hunger and thirst.
Right.
If I did not initiate, I said, Scott, are you hungry? And he answers me. He can speak. But if I don't ask him, he would never initiate that.
Does he eat through a feeding tube, or do you just feed him by hand?
Oh, no. He did at one time, yes, in the hospital, yes. We did have a feeding tube, and he pulled it out 3 times.
Yeah, we didn't want anything to do with that.
Right. But the last time I said, don't put it in there. He can swallow. Because we had been feeding him ice chips and Jell-O and all those other things, just like they were doing with Terry, without the doctor's say-so, without the swallowing test.
Well, this is a situation where I'm afraid if the Supreme Court doesn't act and act pretty soon, I don't think she's going to make it.
Well, I want to add one more thing. When Scott started communicating with me, he started laughing at me. And I said, Scott, why are you laughing? He said, your three children. Well, I don't have but two children living. I had a miscarriage. And I said, Scott, what are you talking about, my three children? Are you talking about my baby that I lost? And he saw my miscarried child.
How did he know this?
He went to heaven. He died with his head injury.
For just a moment.
Well, no. They told us he was dying one night. It was a massive head injury. It was a massive, like Terry's. But he is alive, and he's wonderful. He loves me, and we love him, and he's taught us so much.
No, I know, and I
he is
I
just
feel
a wonderful young man, and he was 16 when he fell at his baseball game off the back of a truck. And the young men that were there, he has affected their lives. They lived their lives differently because of him.
Aren't you glad that he's still around?
It's wonderful. Oh, yes, I am glad he's alive.
Yeah.
Oh, he's taught me, like the lady last night. I listened on internet. I'm a stream link.
Sure.
But I listened to her, and she said her young boy, her little baby that died, taught her so much spiritually.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our international line. Where might you be? Hello.
Hi, I'm Farzan, calling from Canada.
Hi there.
Hi. First thing I'd like to say is, do you think, have you heard of biodiesel?
Oh, of course. As a matter of fact, Art had Willie Nelson on a couple weeks ago, and
yeah, so
Willie's
heard,
starting his own biodiesel company.
I heard that. And also, is it possible to run factories off biodiesel? Or?
I think with biodiesel, you might be able to run just about anything.
Okay, and one other thing, please. About the dimensions thing, surveillance camera has like shown people walking into walls and stuff, right? Transparent people. Right.
Well, some surveillance cameras have captured ghostly figures. That's true. I don't know about walking into walls, but there was one that saw a person who apparently was a ghostly figure walking around a crashed car, and some people were trying to theorize maybe that was the victim who had come back, things like that. There have been pictures on video of ghosts coming out of houses and things, but they seem to go through the door, not float through,
ghosts,
but they open the door.
Like, you can see color, or is it all just white?
It all seems to be black and white on these cameras.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Okay. And by the way, we'll open up the phone lines later on tonight, so you'll have a chance to talk with Brandi Stark about some of her investigations. She is very good at what she does. We're also going to be talking about weeping icons, some of these symbols and figure statues that cry blood and things like that. It's going to be a remarkable program. I'm looking forward to meeting her and talking with her. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, I'm Charles on Kauai.
Hello, I'll be there soon.
Oh, good, yeah. I have a chip that turns heat directly into electricity. I've talked to you a couple of times about it. It's a lot of diodes and aligned the same way parallel. It's just basic.
Why are you, now you're calling me three times on this. How come?
I'm sorry, because I think it's revolutionary, and I don't know what to do about it besides to keep talking about it.
You mean after two times on this program, nobody has contacted you with a contract to take this thing out into the public?
I'm sorry, no.
Well, maybe they don't know how to get a hold of you, Charles.
Okay, I'll give my webpage one time up, www.diodearray.com.
Well, you better spell that.
DIODEARRAY.
Okay, if anybody wants to take a look at what you do, seeing that this is the third time you've been able to sneak through, they can email you. First time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Paul from Brush Valley, PA.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. I'm calling in response to the woman from Oklahoma that called a few weeks ago asking for people who are experiencing their bed vibrating.
Oh, yes.
Man, you could have knocked me over with a feather, because I just decided to quit telling people about that, and then I hear it on the radio.
This is happening to you?
It's been happening, oh God, for years and years. And it is the strangest thing.
You can't control it. It just happens. You can't control it, right?
No. You wake up, and the bed's vibrating. Something like, you know, the old beds in the motels on the highway, you put a quarter in?
I've never done that, Paul.
Well,
it's
pretty cool. Without the sound, you wake up and the bed is just humming along.
You do?
Pardon?
No, go ahead.
Well, I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought maybe there was a motor, maybe the freezer's kicking on, or the refrigerator, so I'd unplug them and... And it doesn't seem to have any effect on it. It happens when it happens. I can't seem to link it to anything.
How violent is it?
It's not violent at all. As a matter of fact, the only disturbing thing about it is that you don't know what's happening.
Well, now, let me ask you. Is the bed vibrating by itself, or are you vibrating? Is your body shaking?
I wondered about that. I've seen a neurologist, and she thinks I'm nuts, I think. But
I mean, if you got up, would the bed still be vibrating?
No. Well, you know, I never got up and felt the bed. It's just you lay there and you wake up and you finally you're fully awake and the bed is.
I'll tell you what.
Then it's slowing down.
Next time this happens, try to just jump out of bed, see if it happens just to the bed or if it just stops. Because we need to figure out. If maybe your body's doing this.
That's what I was trying to figure out, too. Because, you know, I'm having some neurological problems. Maybe I was having a seizure.
Who knows? Let's check that out first.
But what's been happening lately is it'll wake me up, and it's really not unpleasant, so I'll just enjoy it and go back to sleep.
It's almost like rocking you back to bed, right?
But yeah, so... Whoever that woman is and wherever she is, I hope she's listening now. She's not alone. She's not nuts. It's been happening to me for years.
All right. Well, you definitely do that. Jump out of the bed and let's see if it's you or the bed next time, and then call back and let us know. Hotels, you put quarters in beds? What kind of a place was that? Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
This is Gerald down here in Houston, Texas, or actually Spring. It's just a little bit... little small town outside of Houston.
What's going on down there?
Well, I heard something on Fox that I thought you might be interested in. I called a week or so ago and left you a fast blast from one of your operators there about Yucca Mountain being shut down. Did you get it?
Yes. I also heard that they're trying to make sure that is not going to be the nuclear waste dump, but I don't know if that's going to be successful.
Well, they said that somebody had falsified some tests.
Right, and right.
The other thing that I wanted to ask you about is they came on the news tonight, that fella, I can't think of his name, the youngest guy that on Fox there, that does that 60-minute studio show, came on and showed a picture of the map of California and Washington. Some guy has figured out a way to... over the Washington Mountain area, and there's a UFO sitting up there, and he's been abducting people. And then they sent them to some other planet, like he was talking about, and they're eating them.
What?
Yes, sir.
We'll check into that.
And that was the end of it. They haven't said anything. They weren't fooling around when they said it, but they just said it one time, and that was the end of it.
I think if there were UFOs with occupants grabbing humans, eating them, Fox would have probably continued to lead their show with it. But we'll check into that. Lex, you have an assignment. Run with it. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, George. Great to talk to you. This is Kyle from Kentucky.
Hi, Kyle.
I got a pretty good story for you.
Okay.
Like
go ahead. Got a couple minutes for you.
Okay. A few years back, as a child, my mother would always tell this story sometimes when we were sitting around breakfast about the night before she would wake up in the middle of the night and she would see a woman walking down the hall with a cat behind her, and the wallpaper would change colors, and she could never explain it. I thought she was crazy. A few years later, we steamed the wallpaper. It was a pretty old house, 1850s,
yeah.
Built. and we steamed the wallpaper off all the layers. We got to that last layer, and it gives me chills still thinking about it. And we got to that last layer, and my mom's face turned white. She said, "That's the wallpaper I see when it changes colors when I see that woman with the cat."
How strange.
I thought it was really strange.
I bet the woman with the cat was a person who lived during that era.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that house has always been haunted. I was never scared of it. It's something I've always been interested in, but I just thought it was a real neat story to pass along.
That's cool. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate that. If you got to take pictures for us next time, though. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry to bother you. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi.
I just want to ask one question. Will the future medical technology be able to cure most of our diseases? For example, will the stem cell technology be able to make a new hand, a new leg, or even a whole body?
You can, maybe even new ears, everything.
I mean, but how long is it going to take?
The growth pattern for these organs would be pretty fast. I mean, it's not going to be like in real time.
Have you heard any prophecy regarding this kind of issue? For example, some prophecies say that in the near future, maybe before the third global war, I mean, our medical technology is going to be the best. I mean, be the best in history.
Well, there are always going to be problems, quite frankly. Anytime I think man plays around with things, you know, they're growing, for example, they grew a human ear on the back of a mouse. Can you believe that? I mean, that was a gross-looking picture. But apparently they were able to then take the ear off, and I don't know if they've used it on somebody or not. They're also talking about putting in, human cells in animals. They want to do some testing like that. And then I just read just a few days ago they're talking about coming out with some genetically modified food that includes human cells. And don't wince, Dan. It's not like you're eating a person, but for some reason they want to do that. I'll be back in a moment with our guest, Brandi Stark. And I want to go to her website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Paranormal investigator, and that's what we're talking about tonight. The old hag syndrome. People who turn lights on and off. Weeping icons. And much, much more. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Get it in writing with the After Dark newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505.